Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited to welcome back to our program today, David Mezapel. He's an individual I got to meet because of an amazing book he wrote called Contagious Optimism. And he's an individual that really shows us, I think, in a very big way, in a way that all of us can really appreciate, how we can all live a happier, healthier, and more productive life, and also, I think, change the way that we see ourselves and also see others as well. We're going to talk to David not only about the journey of that book, but also about his brand new book this year, and it's called 10 Habits of Truly Optimistic People. What he's been able to do is to tackle, I think, 10 things that all of us kind of know what it's like to deal with, and to get some great perspectives from some amazing individuals about how they've been able to change the way they see themselves and their own circumstances. David, hello to you, and welcome back to the program. Glad to have you back.
Great, thank you. It's great to be here again. I love your show.
Well, thank you for that, David. I appreciate that. And as I was telling you before we went live here, I love this book because I think there's just so much in it, and I was inspired as I was reading it, especially because there are so many, I think, examples, as I said in my review on Amazon, David, of things that we all can relate to on some degree or another. Has that been one of the exciting things for you as you've been discussing the new book?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, for me, it just seems like everybody around the world has an amazing story to share, whether it's a story about themselves or a story about someone they know. And because of that, people going through, whether it's tough times, financial health, relationships, or even prosperity, sometimes when you hear stories of how others have persevered through adversity, it gives you hope that you too can emulate whatever it is they did to either find the silver lining or come out on the sunny side. So stories from others help the people that read them
right.
In a great way.
Exactly. And you even say this about the book. You say, I truly believe that reading stories of how others have persevered through their life's adventures will help you to discover positivity in your own life. These stories are proof that we can all find our silver linings. When did that become clear for you, David? Because unfortunately, not everybody believes that there is a silver lining. They look around them and they think, you know what, things cannot be getting any better. That, you know, things, you know, and hope diminishes for them. When did you first realize the importance of not only recognizing the silver lining, but searching for it?
Well, it's interesting that you asked that. So basically, prior to writing even the first book, I had been, my alma mater had recommended for years that I write a book on optimism and business because of some projects I had done over the last 17 years. And what happened was when I finally thought about doing it, you know, I said, okay, I'm not just going to make it about me. Let's make it about other people and not just business, but many of life's themes, like Chicken Soup for the Soul. That's sort of been the kind of I like how that book was laid out, and I thought I'd like to do something similar but different. But what happened was, coincidentally, I was doing a consulting project back starting around, say, 2009, 2010, and I was working a lot with senior living facilities and assisted living, independent living, nursing. Excuse me. And what happened was I was speaking a lot with residents and doing a lot of presentations, and I noticed that all these people in these facilities had these amazing, amazing stories going back to the 20s. And it blew my mind. It just blew my mind what I was learning, what these people did to persevere, the silver linings they found, how things, you know, ultimately worked out for the best. And it really hit me that, you know, people have amazing stories. And after that, I became fascinated with this concept of just meeting with people, talking to them, hearing their stories. So I really made it a mission to keep working with senior living communities after my consulting project was done, because I was working on this book. And then from there, we started capturing stories from all ages and all demographics. But working with those communities, it hit me like a ton of bricks that this is just amazing. Every single person in every community had an amazing story, whether it was business, how they met their spouse, sports, health, whatever it is, just amazing.
Right, right. And I think as in anything in life, when people think of the word, you know, contagious, and I got such a great response from that first conversation with you, David, which is why I was so glad to be able to have you back, because when people think of the word of something being contagious or of a contagion, you know, we automatically think negative, which is just because of, I think, because of the world that we're in today. So to think about something good, that is something that we can pass along and that we can benefit from others, I think, has to be a great thing. And you even, in your own part of the book, which, and I'll read a little bit of that later, but you have the chapter Courage from Optimism, and you share, I think, a really powerful thing that I think people will really benefit from, and that is that optimism can come from seeing how others have overcome what they're going through and realizing that we can do it too. I think it goes to a big message, David, for me, when I was reading this book, that to me kind of is one of the big things to take away, and that is that, you know, we all are in this together, that no one is an island, no one's situation, even though we may think, well, no one really understands what we're going through. Don't you agree that anyone reading this book will be able to say, you know what, if that person can go through what they did, then surely I can address what's going on in my life?
Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, my whole mantra whenever I talk about what we do is that I believe that when people are going through tough times, they tend to think they're alone. But when they hear stories of how others have persevered, it gives them hope. And hope is that foundation of optimism. That is 100% my mantra behind this.
Right, exactly. There's also something that I did not expect to happen when I was reading this book, and that is something that I've heard before, and I guess I knew before, David, but never really thought about it when it came to being more optimistic, and that is the connection with helping others. And that came to me when I was reading one of the selections, and you probably remember this from Natalie Weinrock, I think is how her name is pronounced, where she talked about, of course, being in from Cambodia and being able to do amazing work. And one of the things, for those who haven't seen the book yet, one of the things that David has done is that at the end of each segment, we kind of have these contagious moments. And after that story that's shared by Natalie on page 289, David gives us a contagious altruism. And this is what it says: no matter how busy you are, roll up your sleeves and lend a hand. You will not only be helping others in need, you will quickly gain an appreciation for your own life and the blessings you have. And that was something, as I said, that I was not really expecting, but it makes perfect sense. David, do you think that that is a great lesson for us all, that we can better appreciate our own lives when we realize the blessings that we have already versus what so many other people don't have?
Yes, that's exactly right. And, you know, when people think about helping others, so many people assume it's just financial, but it's not. You know, there's this thing I always mention called time, talent, and treasure. One of those is a great way of helping others. It doesn't have to be all three. Time being your time, talent being whatever it is you're good at, and treasure, if you can't afford it, then okay, write a check. And that's all falls under the guide of altruism. So I believe helping others is tantamount to your own happiness. We have what we believe is five steps for finding or maintaining optimism and positivity in your life. And one of those is altruism. It's what we consider a core of being able to find happiness in by helping others. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that has been one of the main things, too. So talk to us a little bit about the process, because I was curious about this, too. And it was great to be able to see David. Several individuals I've had the opportunity to have conversations with on this program in the book. How did you kind of decide or pull together, you know, the group that was able to share their stories in this new book?
Sure. Well, basically, what we do is we have teams and teams of people around the globe, and we literally go out into the streets, into wherever we can to capture stories. If we hear or read an amazing story, whether it be in a newspaper or through some media, we reach out to that person. Whatever we can do, we do. And then we have an essay bank. So as the stories come in, they go into the essay bank. We review them for compliance. We verify their stories. We copy edit them so they fit in the Chicago Manual of Style, the CMS. But we don't change their voice. We just sometimes have to clean up the grammar. And then we just, you know, we build our manuscripts, and we're working on the next two volumes right now, and it's the same process. The stories pour in, and our team gets on them right away. And as long as they fall into our guidelines, we make it work for one of our volumes.
Yeah, wow. What a great thing and what a great opportunity. And, you know, I mentioned earlier about what you had to say in the book, Courage from Optimism. And I love the fact that, you know, when it comes to challenges, when it comes to situations, I think that becomes a real, I think, deciding point for people, David. I know I've experienced that my own self. When something doesn't go exactly right, when you hit that, you know, proverbial wall, or, you know, or when you stumble and fall, we all have a decision to make. This is what you say when it comes to that. Our fears seem to stem from two distinct places. One of them is the unknown. Fears of the unknown are natural and innate, as if a resistance has formed and we can't seem to penetrate it. Our fears also come from past experiences. And what I thought was so interesting about that was what you say at this point. Whether we went through something very scary ourselves or we witnessed someone else go through a difficult situation, the experience stayed with us and left us with fear. And that is, again, something that we talk about on this program too, David, and that is a lot of times you're fearing things that you've never really experienced, but because of what you've heard, of what you think might happen or what someone else has said, how important has fear, or at least addressing fear, been for you in being able to be more optimistic about life?
Sure. Well, there's no question that's a very valid point what you just made, and I agree wholeheartedly. What I have found is that, you know, again, going back to people's stories, you know, if you realize that whatever it is we'll use me as an example, whatever it is I've feared in my life, when I read or hear or understand how other people got through it, it makes me realize that it's completely surmountable. And that's the key right there. And that's probably why I love people's stories so much, because I realize that what other people have been through has paved the way for ourselves. And a lot of times when I speak, I end my talk with a slide on the screen that says, we are all naturally mentors just by the sheer impression of our footsteps. And fear is a big part of that. Footsteps that I have taken to get through something that I'm scared of will help somebody else that's scared of it in the future. And I can't get enough of that. I mean, that's really why I love what I do.
Exactly. And again, for those who are just tuning in, he's on the radio dial or online, you're listening now to David Mezapel. We're excited to welcome him back. His new book is called 10 Habits of Truly Optimistic People. Power Your Life with the Positive is the subtitle of the book. And he gives us not only, I think, you know, these 10 habits, but also, I think, you know, great examples from a variety of individuals about how they've been able to show this. I want to just share a few of these habits that are mentioned in the book, David. The first one is embrace change. The second one is appreciate those around you. The third one is savor every moment. But I have to say my favorite one was the habit number 5, believe in yourself and the value you possess. And the reason for me for that one is because that was one of the big sticking points for myself. That was the one that I really had to start with. And I think, you know, when we talk to individuals in this program, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, that belief in themselves, our guest the last part of the program was saying that a lot of times other people can see the greatness in us before we can see it in ourselves. How important has believing in yourself been for you, David, in this important work that you've been doing to be able to spread optimism?
Well, for me, you know, when you get into writing books, anybody who has had any experience in doing so, they'll tell you, you know, you're not going to get rich writing a book. It's going to be a lot of work. Or you hear, you know, you think it's hard when you write the book. Wait till you have to, you know, do a lot of the marketing and promotion afterwards. You hear so many, like, naysayers that have written books. But I didn't write this for income. I wrote this to actually not only help people find silver linings, but also I donate my royalties. So, you know, that's not why I did it. I've always been very much into contagious optimism. I've always been told that I'm contagiously optimistic, and I take that as a big compliment. And I wanted to be able to share that with others, and I felt the best way to do so was capturing these stories. It works for me, and I love it. And believing in myself and not listening to the naysayers and the doomsday people is tantamount for me to keep doing this, because if I listen to them, you're just going to spin your wheels and just not go anywhere. It's very, very, very important.
Exactly. And by your having that attitude, David, you've been able to inspire other people, as Lance in the book that we're able to meet, as he talks about finding strength in another, I think, important habit for all of us to look at. And, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to staying inspired, which is, you know, something that's not always easy, especially because of the day-to-day challenges that happen to us all, the day-to-day life that happens to us all, Lance was able to find, you know, an example close to home in his own father. He even said in his part of the book, In Finding Strength, that I will never forget my father's amazing attitude and constant optimism. I can only hope that his inspiration will keep me optimistic throughout whatever challenges life may throw at you. I know, David, from staying connected with you through social media, that you also have been able to hear from people. I mean, when you get those comments about how something that you have said or something that you have written and how it has really, I think, you know, sparked that passion in people, how does it make you feel about that and the work that you're doing?
Oh, it's nothing. I mean, nothing is better. Nothing is better than receiving those calls, emails, or letters from people that say, you know, I'm enduring this, I'm enduring that, and I read your book or I saw you speak, and I have to say you've really helped me with, you know, whatever it may be. There's nothing better. Maybe that's my altruistic side, but I love knowing that something we did or said helped somebody else. If we help one person, we did our job. And the Lance, you mentioned Lance, it's an incredible story about him and his father. And what happened was, about 2 years ago, because I had already started working on Volume 2 about almost 2 years ago, I received a letter in the mail from the gentleman that wrote the foreword in our first book, Dan Tully. And Dan sends me a letter, and in the letter he has a copy of an article from Golf Magazine, and it's talking about Frank Stranahan, which is Lance's father. Mm-hmm. And he said, David, this is an amazing story. You should try to reach out and find the son. I believe he lives in South Florida, which is where I live. So I did some research after I read this amazing article, and I did find the son, and I wrote him a letter, and he called me, and the next thing you know, he not only submitted the story basically that you read, I had him speak at our first live event last April 2014, and that story is just unbelievable. His father not only endured all these terrible things, but the family endured constant tragedy. Just never stopped. Yet this person and his son found optimism in every single problem that came along their way. And it's shocking. And I had lunch with him recently, and he's still just as psyched. He has the best attitude. And that can inspire a lot of people because, you know, someone could wake up with a sore back and be miserable. But then when they hear about somebody lost their wife, lost their three kids, lost all their money, you realize, okay, I could deal with a sore back today.
Wow.
So that's a big part of what we are. I love it.
Yeah, it has to be a great feeling. And, you know, I think, again, too, it should motivate other people, as the subtitle of the book says, David, to power your life with the positive, because that, I mean, things like that definitely keep me, you know, motivated and moving forward. And I know it does for others. I mean, I think when you're excited about other people succeeding and other people, you know, seeing within themselves, you know, what you know to be there, I think, and looking at their lives differently, it has to be an amazing thing. And that is what I think is so encouraging about this book. And again, the variety of individuals, the variety of stories they were able to read, for sure. So, you know, as people are listening to this conversation, you know, if they've read Contagious Optimism, David, if they're now going to pick up 10 Habits of Truly Optimistic People, what is your hope for them, that they do realize about what's possible right now, for regardless of what may have happened yesterday? What do you want them to know about this very moment?
Well, basically that there's always, you know, a silver lining to be found. Our whole thing about, we call it positive forward thinking, which essentially is the ability to find the silver lining in every cloud, apply it to yesterday or today, with the confidence that tomorrow will be better. Essentially, you know, even though we've heard it a million times, sometimes you just really need to read it or focus on the fact that everything we do in life, good or bad, generates wisdom, and that wisdom carries us forward. If I burn myself on something, I'm not going to touch that thing again. It sounds so simple and trite, but it's very, very true. So our whole point is, people have been through it before. We've had issues, we've had war, we've had stock market crashes, we've had real estate crashes. It's not the first time it's happened. And we learn from it, and ultimately something positive comes out of it, or whatever the adversity is, it eventually ends, and we're stronger because of it. So, you know, embrace people's stories, share your own stories, and know that people are going to gain from that wisdom. You know, in 2000, I endured a horrible stock market crash, the tech bubble. I was in the tech business. I was heavily invested in the companies who I supported. I just, as a business person, I wanted to support and invest in the companies that we worked with, mostly Silicon Valley. And we got clobbered. And, you know, I could have just cried it out and been, you know, miserable. Why me? Why me? All these years of working, my money's gone. But you know what? I was young. And I was able to learn from that, and I was able to learn the importance of diversification. That same knowledge, that same wisdom I have found enduring divorce, enduring death of family or friends, whatever it may be, I've learned from each thing along the way, and I apply that to my life. And that's the point of our books. It's the same exact thing. All that wisdom being shared on these 400 pages.
Right. Exactly, and definitely something for everyone, for sure, to be able to take in and to apply, and again, no matter who they are, and just as Lance, that we mentioned, was able to glean a lot from his father, now we're able to learn from him, and others can learn from you once you're able to be able to apply these 10 habits in your own life and to realize the possibilities for yourself, too. Regardless of what you've been through and regardless of where you see yourself right now, there's always better to come for you. Again, everyone, David Mazzapelle has been our guest today. Great conversation. Today, David. The book is 10 Habits of Truly Optimistic People. Power Your Life with the Positive. David, I mentioned earlier that I wrote my review on Amazon.com. The book can be gotten there. How can I stay connected with you as well?
Well, thank you. And I do appreciate that. I appreciate everything you've said and done for us. So our website is ContagiousOptimism.com. Our Facebook page is Official Contagious Optimism. And our Twitter is CO Live US. People can reach us that way. And of course, the contact us link on our website will come right to my team and forwarded to me. So people can stay connected to me any way they wish. And in terms of yourself, please, let's stay connected. I'd love to help you with your mission, whatever you need, whatever we could do. We have a great database of wonderful people around the globe that appreciate what you do. So we have to stay connected. And I want to add one other thing. A lot of times people say, ugh, another pie-in-the-sky optimist. That's not me. I believe in effort, reality, and positive thinking. And I think true success comes when you combine those. Because if you're just optimistic alone, you're in the clouds. You need to be a realist as well and put in the effort. It doesn't come from closing your eyes and begging for success. So I always like to add that to when I speak.
Sure. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, you know, that's a really good point, too. But and I think, too, as we mentioned here, David, as the book really helps people to see is that, you know, this is something you should not mind being, you know, definitely being contagious or being able to catch from someone. And that is, of course, to be able to change your outlook. And I think that is the thing. Now, no matter how difficult it might seem, and even the individuals in the book mention this, no matter how difficult it might be to see that bright side, it is definitely there. And it really is really just waiting for you. And I think it all begins with the attitude. As one of the big things that, you know, we didn't really talk about that, but that is one of the big things for me, David, in the book. It's really about your attitude about life and the way that you see yourself and where you can move forward. So we hope that you all will get the book again, 10 Habits of Truly Optimistic People. David Mazzapelle, again, has been our guest here. Make sure you guys are staying connected with David, as he mentioned, through the website at ContagiousOptimism.com, as well as, of course, through social media, through Facebook and Twitter. David, really, a great conversation, and looking forward to the next one with you.
Absolutely, and thank you again for the opportunity.
Hey, more than welcome. Glad to do it. And we thank you, our listeners, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live for our radio audience in Atlanta and Mississippi, another great hour for you all. If you came in late and you missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available on our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link. You can listen to the show completely for free and even share it with your friends using the buttons you'll see on the left-hand side of your screen. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.